I'm joined this morning by two guests in studio. They go by the name of Clement Chuke, and he is a youth leadership coach and transformational speaker, and Nikita Ruthven, who is our guest and is going to be sharing a story with us on Impact 103. Good morning to both of you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you too. I must say I'm excited to be here as always. The atmosphere is always refreshing, and I'm looking forward to the conversation that we are going to have, of which I know it will transform and impact lives of all the listeners who have just tuned in this morning.
Clement, it's wonderful to have you and Nikita in studio, and it's a topic that we're going to talk about that is really important, and I think we're going to be asking questions that are going to be tough questions, but Nikita can definitely handle those kind of questions, and very informative, and the questions that are going to be educational, and maybe if you're not going through what Nikita went through, but you know somebody who is, just a way to support them. But before we get going with that, Clement, how did you and Nikita's paths cross?
We are living in a world of social media, and how our path is crossed, it's because we share same passion in terms of work. She advocates a lot for women empowerment, giving voice to the voiceless. And I'm also an activist when it comes to, you know, building women. It is through social media that we met and doing the same work.
Nikita is a 32-year-old woman residing in Pretoria, and as Clement has just mentioned, a social media specialist by profession and an activist for women empowerment and mental health. Nikita, I want to direct this discussion to you now, because I'd like you to give us more of an intro about yourself, your story, a bit of a background. So if you want to give us a 30-second bio.
Sure, I'll try my best. So yes, I've been residing in Pretoria since I was 19 years old. When I got to Pretoria was when my abusive relationship started. It was quite tough, but I went through it, I built on it, and just came up stronger on the other side. Having two relationships that were of an abusive nature is quite tough to handle so early in your days, but we managed to get through it.
Two relationships that you noticed. So you obviously found that there was a pattern in your life when it came to choosing life partners and marriage partners.
Yeah.
So let's start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people don't realize they're in an abusive environment because maybe that's what's been modeled. I'm not saying that's the same in your case, but it's been modeled growing up and it's normal for them.
Yeah.
So my question there is, how do you know that you are in an abusive environment?
It's such a tough question, actually, because you usually realize it when you're already in that relationship and you have already built something with this person. Some of the behaviors only start showing a few months into a relationship, and you don't really realize it until it's too late. So from my personal experience, what I've realized is isolation from your family and your friends. They don't want you to be in a situation where you have, you know, too many people to talk to or too many things to handle. Also, just purely you start to lose yourself within that situation. Controlling behavior is also a very big thing within that. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've seen in those kind of relationships. It's just purely you walking on eggshells all the time. There's some aggressive behavior that starts showing. Like I said, it really starts showing its head only a few months within the relationship.
Nikita, you've mentioned key things, and I just want to highlight them, and that is isolation, loss of identity, and a controlling
nature.
Nature from your partner.
Yeah.
If somebody is listening to this and they're saying, wow, I actually do feel isolated from family and friends, or I have lost my identity in this relationship, or they do feel controlled, what kind of steps can they take to get out of that abusive environment?
I think it's very important to note that you cannot share too much with your partner. Don't go and tell them, you know, I want to break up with you, for example. I'm seeking help on a certain thing. That just gives them more reason to hold it against you. Like in my example, I have done that, and I was literally isolated and held hostage, fearing for my life in a situation like that for a whole weekend. So it's very important to find a family member, a friend, your local church, for example, anyone who you can trust and speak to about your situation. And then when you're ready to leave, it's very important to also distinguish between when you're ready, because it's you have to have a few things in order and able to do that. So I think it's you need to find a safe place. You need to find a safe place where you could stay a few days and leave. I think that's so important. And seek help. Speak to your neighbor even. If you are in a situation where you're held against your will, then at least you have a neighbor, for example, who can, you know, stand in and be there for you in those times.
Nikita, you are speaking, if I hear correctly, as a single, well, as a woman without children.
Yes.
So a woman that has a child or a few children, it gets a little more, I wouldn't say complicated, but those details of getting ready to leave becomes a lot more difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think when there are kids involved, there's definitely a different layer or a extra layer they're involved. And I do think that if that's the case, you need to take your children with you. You don't even have to put them in that situation. If they can stay with a friend from school, for example, for a night, you know, just make it a play date, for example, just so that they're not, you know, also exposed to that kind of situation.
Once somebody is out of that environment, what is your advice? Is counseling good advice?
Definitely. Definitely. Counseling has been such a crucial part in my life. And I mean, I still, go to therapy and everything. I think it's very important to seek help. You need to build yourself up again. You need to, because you've been isolated and your self-worth has been compromised, you've been molded into something that you're not. You need to go back to your roots, find out who you are, and learn and grow from these experiences and start your healing journey. And I think where people get so confused is where you start counseling, for example, and you think, okay, I'm going to feel better. It's such a long process that you have to really work on, and you mustn't be hard on yourself if you don't feel better after your first session with a counselor, for example. It's very important to remember that this is not a once-off thing. There's a long process that is ahead of you, but if you start, at least you're in the right direction already.
Where do people even go and look for help, for counselors? Because you want somebody that's qualified, you want somebody that's going to give you biblical advice and biblical wisdom and share, and not just be so. I think biblical wisdom is helping, because there you find your identity in Christ again, and who you are, that you are a child of the Most High God.
Definitely.
And from there, you can build that foundation of getting your identity back in line with who you really, really are. So where would you go to get counseling?
I would say your church, obviously, is also a very good start. If you're not that isolated and you still can attend church, and I'm sure you have people in the church who you've obviously known and got to know and became friends with, that's always a good start. Speaking to your pastor, for example, is always good. When we look at more, you know, the other way of things is there's a lot of GBV hotlines within South Africa as well. A lot of organizations that have stepped up to GBV and fighting, you know, the same fight that we are. So I think there's a few ways of going by it. Even your local police station, they also have the resources to assist you and, you know, point you in the correct direction and where to go from there.
Nikita, I want to ask you probably a tough question. I'm not sure if somebody's ever asked you this before, but the Nikita now, what would the Nikita now say to the very scared, very vulnerable, abused Nikita a few years ago?
That is a tough question, but I think it is, you can't change someone. You can't change someone if they're not willing to change. I think it's very important that you come in that situation. Obviously, you love this person and you think they are better than what they are acting now. And unfortunately, you can't change someone if they don't want to be changed. You put yourself through so much through the process, and you lose yourself and you break yourself down just to hang on to this relationship and think there's something there, there's potential. Unfortunately, you have to be very honest with yourself, very real with yourself, and say, listen, if this person is not going to change, if they don't want to change, I'm not going to be a part of it anymore. So it's very, I can't actually, you know, say anything more. Like, you have to, you know, realize that it's not the place to be. It's not who you want to be. It's not the kind of relationship that you want.
Thank you so much, Nikita. I really appreciate you just sharing from experience. And I think it's always, you carry so much weight in terms of authority in that space when you've overcome that.
Mm-mm.
And when you've walked that road and that journey,
yep.
So that somebody else that is currently walking that journey can understand that, you know what, there is hope,
yeah.
There is light, there is a way to live a better life and yeah. a safer life as mm-hmm. well for themselves and for their children as well. Because yes. staying in an environment like that where children are being modeled, that
yeah.
can only mean a potential of that being repeated
exactly.
in the next generation.
Definitely.
So by making that decision, by understanding, like you've just said, that you can't change that person.
No.
As much as the person might want to change,
mm.
but maybe they need to go through a whole journey themselves and
yes.
counseling on their end also mm. and growth on that side. But at the end of the day, you've got to make that tough decision
yeah.
to keep yourself safe, to mm-hmm. keep your children safe, and to make sure that it's not repeated in the next generation. So I really appreciate your time being on Impact 103.